Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, please continue to help spread the word that each week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I would really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know that can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive difference in the world. Now, Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, happiness, and blessings for you and your family. We'll introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, before we get to our guest, I have a special thank you to all of you who take your precious time to listen to this show, and especially to those who send in questions, comments, and suggestions. Please remember, this show exists for you. Now, our topic today and the title of our guest's new book is Chakra Empowerment for Women: Self-Guided Techniques for Healing Trauma, Owning Your Own Power, and Finding Overall Wellness. Our guest, Lisa Erickson, is a chakra-based energy worker and a writer and teacher specializing in women's energetic and sexual trauma healing. She is trained in multiple energy healing modalities and is certified in both mindfulness meditation instruction and trauma sensitivity. Lisa is a member of the International Association of Mediation Instructors, the American Holistic Health Association, the Energetic Medicine Practitioners Association, and the Breathe Network, a nonprofit association dedicated to supporting holistic healing for sexual trauma survivors. Now, she is also the creator of the popular Daily Om course, Awakening Your Feminine Chakras. Lisa, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan.
It is my pleasure. This is a very special day. This is Memorial Day. And I think that there are so many different ways in which we can all feel trauma. We're all going through a different type of trauma right now with quarantine and fear that's being put out. But there are also traumas that a lot of us were going through before this ever happened. Now, I mentioned in the introduction, I talked about chakras, and I realized that not everybody really understands what chakras are. So I think first, talk a little bit about, what are our chakras and why should someone want to work with them?
Yeah. Well, just like we have a physical body and a physical anatomy, we have an energy body and an energy anatomy. And energy medicine traditions and spiritual meditation traditions all over the world have mapped this energy body and work with it. And a lot of people may not even realize that if they do yoga or if they have gone to an acupuncture or acupressure session, they are in fact were engaged in energy medicine, because those are both yoga poses and acupuncture are based on meridians and channels in your body, right? In your energy body that relate to your physical body. So the chakras are like the organs of the energy body, like our heart, our muscle, our lungs. The chakras are energy centers. The primary ones are aligned from on our spine, from our tailbone all the way up actually to the top of our head. So beyond where our spine ends. And I work with a system that has seven main ones, and each one maps to different parts of our body, but also to different emotions and psychological states. And when it comes to trauma, we now know we really store it in our body. We also store it in our energy body. And so that's why working with them can be really helpful.
Well, so when we're talking about working with them, in many cases, we're talking about the psychological traumas. Before we go too much into the psychological part, as you were saying that, and we were talking about, or you were talking about how it's in different parts of our body, Talk a little bit about some of the physical traumas and how it can leave a problem within our chakras that we may not understand. So for instance, somebody that that has an operation, somebody, my best friend is just went through lung cancer, and they went in and they took a piece out. And talk a little bit about, from the energy standpoint, of what they need to do to also rebuild that part rather than just the psychological part.
Yeah. Well, on the physical level, our body has to go through an adaptation process whenever there's a surgery like that, right? Mm-hmm. And working at the chakra level speeds that up through generating energies through that part of your body. You would work with your heart chakra, but also it can speed up the reparative system. Like our second chakra, for example, is linked to, it's almost like energetic stem cell energy. Mm-hmm. So working with that is increasing your body's own natural healing capacity. I think then there is the psychological component, where whatever trauma someone experienced as part of the medical process, perhaps there's emotions of fear, of anxiety, of something being wrong with me. All of those kinds of things get experienced as emotions in our body. And you can work with them in terms of the chakras as well, in terms of working to clear them, as opposed to repressing them, in which case they tend to build momentum and manifest as a bigger problem down the road, right?
So let me mirror something back to you and see. So for instance, and I was told at a very early age, I was someone who had ulcers at 11 years old. Mm. It happened to coincide while my parents were going through a divorce. Mm. There was a therapist that I saw at that early age that said that that's what's causing it. And they said, your body's manifesting it, happens to manifest it in your stomach. That's where you are dealing with it right now. But essentially, he was telling me, and he was telling my parents, this will get better when you, as the parents, get over what you're doing, you know, in regards to this trauma that's going through, that's happening to the children based on their divorce. Explain a little bit about how that manifests.
Yeah. So we have a mind body, you know, mind body, energy body connection. And the energy body really to me is like this layer between our physical and our psyche, right? So we now know that stress and anxiety have a tremendous impact on our body. That's one example: blood pressure, weight gain, all sorts of things, depression, sleep issues, headaches, migraines, all linked to higher levels of stress and anxiety. And then it becomes a never-ending cycle because the medical problem itself creates more anxiety. You know, what's so interesting to me about that example is that our navel chakra, linked to our digestive system, has a lot to do with boundaries and our sense of self. And when a child is going through a divorce situation, both of those things are at issue, right? They may be kind of in people-pleasing mode or afraid it's their fault. You know, there's all this stuff going on with the energy lines with both parents and fears around losing them, all tied to that chakra. And so it manifests literally in that part of the body, almost like a messaging, right? Almost like a messaging system, like those emotions were manifested in the stomach, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So now let's talk about how this is affecting people today. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said it, you know, in the beginning, we're going through something that is new to all of us, at least as Americans. We've not been through, within our lifetime, we've not been through a pandemic like this. But I think we also have not been through something to where there has been this much fear that has been instilled by the media, by people with political agendas, by people with control agendas, all of these things. Share a little bit about how this is affecting our bodies, how this is affecting our chakras, and what are some of the things we can do to get past this and to keep our immune system strong, so that should we catch something, that our body's going to be strong enough to get us through it.
And those are really the two pieces: our own immune system and what we can do to booster that, and then the level of stress and anxiety and how that's impacting us. And that's kind of the two things I've been working primarily with clients on. And of course, as you might expect, people who have past trauma, who are trauma survivors, are more likely to be triggered right now by this situation, if, you know, in the body. I think we have these layers. We have the social anxiety, which you spoke to, and then we have the individual anxiety and all of that. What I'm really encouraging people to do from a chakra perspective is work with the root chakra, which is located at the tailbone. This really, it's linked to boosting our immune system. It's also linked to our sense of safety in our body. And that is what is compromised right now. Not only fear around the virus, but as soon as we go out our door, fear around our contact with other people, right? This is really changing our relationship to our physical body and creating a lot of anxious energy in the body. So the focusing on the root chakra and focusing on the heart chakra, which is linked to the heart and lungs, which is specifically where the virus hits the most, right, is what I'm advising to do. The heart chakra is also a balance point. It's the center of our body. It's also a point to focus on in terms of calming and soothing and creating self-nurturing, self-caring emotions, which is often the first step. So I think that those are the two from a chakra perspective that I'm helping people focus on, is that foundation and the heart.
Okay. So how can the average person work with those two chakras? You know, what are some things that they can do? You know, it would be great if everybody could wake up and you can take everybody through it. So we need to get you a Zoom channel and everybody can wake up. Okay. Here's what we're going to do.
Yep. But I do have a lot of free meditations and some that tie to the book. The exercises in the book are actually online with my voice guiding them. You're meant to have the book too. But what I'd like to say with chakras, I mean, we have a lot of talk around mindfulness and meditation these days and how even just deep breathing can lower your stress response in a moment, right? This one of the fastest things you can do is take an inhale and elongate your exhale 3 times. And this is scientifically proven to actually start to lower your body's production of cortisol, of adrenaline, those things that kick in when we're under stress, right? Chakra work is really just an extension of that, where you're really trying to cultivate a certain vibration in your body. So the first way you can work on it is with your breath, but add the step of focusing on a certain part of your body. So for the root chakra, you would focus at your tailbone, the very base of your spine, maybe even hold a hand there. Take 3 breaths, elongating your exhale, focusing there. If you feel some energy there, cultivate that feeling. If not, fine. Just bringing your awareness down when it's usually up here, especially if we're stressed, that act of bringing it all the way to the base of your spine. Foundation for your skeletal structure. Foundation for your nervous system, foundation for your root chakra. Same with the heart, same idea. The second thing that you can add in is visual work, especially if you like color. All the chakras have a color associated with them. Many have other visual symbols associated with them. Yeah. You could add that in, red at your chakra, your root, green at your heart, and just a ball of light, you know. The third is affirmations. Go ahead, jump in.
No. Please keep going. This is great. I'm taking it in, but I was also getting into the breathing part while you were saying. Yeah.
And right in the middle, I got a frog in my throat, which always happens, right? Throat chakra. Affirmations is the third way that for people new to the chakras is often very helpful. And that is saying something that cultivates the emotions around the chakras. So for the root chakra, while you're focusing at your tailbone, you could say out loud, I am grounded and present in my body. I am safe and secure in my body. I trust my body's capacity to heal. Mm-hmm. You're affirming, and all of those states are linked to a strong root chakra. So you're sort of trying to cultivate those feelings as you focus on the physical location. And so those are the 3 entrance points, I think, for the chakras. Breathing while you focus on a physical location in your body, visualizing the color associated with that chakra, and affirmations. And you can use 1 or all 3.
Now, is there a color, or do you assign a color?
You know, there is a traditional rainbow structure. So that's what I use in my book. So that we start with red at the root, and it goes through the rainbow of orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, indigo, you know, as you go up. But in fact, in healing, distance healing work, you use many different colors. So I use other colors if I'm working with someone one-on-one. But those rainbow colors are effective if someone's working with themselves.
Okay, see, that part is new to me. So I have a protocol of, you know, I go to the local park that has eucalyptus trees so that I know that I'm breathing. I bring the dogs. The dogs are trained to sit when I tell them to stay at my side. But I kneel down because I'm wearing shorts, and I want to ground at the same time. So I'll go through the breathing exercise, but I want to make sure I have skin that's touching the ground mm-hmm. while I'm breathing. And I will go through various empowerment mantras that I'll go through. But the color part is new to me, so that's why I'm very interested in that. What's your thoughts about adding in, for instance, grounding or something like that?
Well, yes, that's exactly what I like to do. And in the exercise in the book for the root chakra, you actually visualize roots in the earth, like you have roots like a tree.
Oh, okay. Right?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, to get that added sense of that. And what's interesting, and maybe you already know this, the chakras are also linked to elements. And so that is another powerful way to connect with them, is to focus or be near the element associated with that chakra. So the mm-hmm. root chakra is earth, that foundation. It's the foundation of our psyche. Our body is the foundation for our life. And it's linked to that earth element, foundation of our material life. And so sitting on the earth while you focus on your root chakra is an excellent way to work with it. The second chakra in your pelvis is linked to water. The navel chakra is linked to fire. The heart chakra is linked to air, right? Lungs mm-hmm. and breathing. So they're all linked to the elements. And then these get a little bit more abstract as you go up. Sound and light.
So in other words, being told to quarantine and stay in your house is pretty much the opposite of what we should be doing to have a strong immune system.
Certainly time in nature and connection with the elements helps a lot, right?
Yes. But
there are ways to do that. Because yes. What's interesting about working with the energy body is that if you can connect with the vibration through a memory and still bring that particular vibration through your body. Now, so in other words, you could work with your favorite memory of sitting at the beach and watching the sunset, right? And there you've got mm-hmm. the earth element of the sand, the water element, right? The fire element of the sun, and the air element of the wind. You've got everything there at the beach, right? You can work with that element and try to really evoke those elements through your sensual memory and imagine then that empowering your body. And that is a kind of meditation that can really shift you vibrationally. And that's really the difference between, say, chakra work and other forms of mindfulness or meditation. In chakra work, you're trying to shift the feeling of the vibration in your body. And we do all feel different after a day at the beach mm-hmm. than when we got there, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to learn to do that in your bedroom. Right. And that's a very powerful skill if you can do that, and very helpful right now. Although now we're finally allowed to go to the beach, but.
Right. Right. But see, I love that. And I didn't know that you could take yourself there mentally without having without actually doing it. And I think the beauty of that is, and for anybody out there, if anybody's out there that is works in mainstream media, if you got into media because you wanted to help people, how great would it be if you were telling people that these are the things that they can do in their house, that they can do it in their house, they can do it in their yard, they can do all of these things to make themselves happier, healthier, to build your immune system better, to make you less apt to get sick, and all of these things. So if you got into media because you really wanted to help people, guess what? These are the types of things that you can do. These are the types of things that you can share. These are the type of guests that you can have on your show that will bring people what they should be getting when they turn on the news.
Yeah, mental health tools right now. That's what we all need.
Absolutely. And for those of you that, if you're at your computer, if you're driving, don't do this. But the website that you can go to get some of these is chakraempowermentforwomen.com. So again, that's chakraempowermentforwomen.com. If you're driving, don't try to write that down. You can go to our site. You can go to the Answers for the Family site, and we will have all this information on there. So let's talk a little bit about some of the differences, because this is one of the things that I didn't know as I was preparing for this show. How are women's and men's chakra systems different, and how does that impact the family?
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. I did want to mention, although this book is written for women, and that's the book website, I do have free meditations that are for everyone on another site, enlightenedenergetics.com, which is my client site. They all link together, but I don't want any men out there to feel excluded, like they can't do any of this work. Yeah. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I got so caught up in what we were doing that I had planned on mentioning that, is that, you know, like when I said, you know, I went to your website, I didn't feel like that we're not welcome type of thing. You know, yeah. Everything, it's on there for all of us. You have a specialty that you're well known for, but that does not mean that you're not covering how this helps all of us.
So, yeah, and I work with a lot of men survivors too of sexual abuse. This book, I just chose to focus on women. And it's partially because there are these differences, you know, between men and women's energy bodies. And that impacts how trauma affects us. It impacts how everything affects us. In general, men are more anchored by default in that root chakra we were just talking about, that earth element. The downside of that can be an energetic tendency towards rigidity. And so men often need to focus on fluidity energetically, more movement through the energy body and emotionally, right? That's very simplistic, but that's one piece of it. Women are anchored in the second chakra in the pelvis, really in the womb area, and that we all have that chakra, but women are anchored there. It's linked to water. It's an empathic chakra. And that means that women tend to need to focus on grounding and boundaries more than men, more than fluidity. They have a more natural fluidity. What that means is that they are more prone to picking up other people's emotions as their own. And not even realizing it. And so focusing on boundaries and on distinguishing their emotions from others, cutting through people-pleasing patterns that cause them to take on more of other people's emotions is usually very key to women's work.
So when you're talking about as far as where it's centered, I mean, give some examples of some things that... you know, why something may traumatize a woman more, or what changes that they can make that the average person, that the average woman could make that would help them more in one direction or the other, or in the same sense, like with a male who, I mean, if we can work into a different chakra, is that also going to maybe open up our more sensitive side?
Yeah. And again, you know, everyone's individual story is so unique. So when it comes to trauma, it's a little different. But if we're just talking in blanket terms for men and women, right. And also this is a spectrum. So you're going to meet men who feel they have a more feminine energy body and women who feel they have a more masculine energy body. Certainly I've worked with trans and pan-gender individuals who feel that way. So it's really about placing yourself on this spectrum. But for men, yeah, it's really focusing on that second chakra, the heart chakra. These are considered the yin chakras. And what that brings in is more fluidity in your ability to be in the flow with other people's emotions. Emotional intelligence, right? Okay. Emotional intelligence, more than anything, is really what it builds, both emotional intelligence towards yourself and others. And I have 13-year-old boy-girl twins. I have three teenagers, but two of them are boy-girl twins. And I'm really, you know, stunned still in this day and age at the level of conditioning that is different and how boys are still so conditioned to repress their emotions. And girls are still so conditioned to take responsibility for everyone's emotions and how that, and you know, and so I don't know the chicken and the egg, like are our energy bodies this way because of that conditioning or is that conditioning a reflection of this energy body? As society changes, will these energy body differences go away? I don't know, but you can work on it within yourself and release those conditioned patterns at the energetic level. And so for men, it's about this emotional intelligence, this energetic fluidity, and working with the chakras that support that. For women, it's boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Like I would have women focusing on their navel chakra and their root chakra a lot on a general level.
We're talking with Lisa Erickson. Our topic and the title of her new book is Chakra Empowerment for Women, Self-Guided Techniques for Healing Trauma, Owning Your Power, and Finding Overall Wellness. Now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about boundaries. You had mentioned boundaries, and I think that that's a big issue right now. So, but again, for everybody, stay with us. Oh, and by the way, for those that have watched before, if you're wondering, yes, I'm trying out some new glasses. They're supposed to make it easier on my eyes. So, and if you have a comment on that, let me know that too. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We are speaking with Lisa Erickson, and we are talking about our chakras, and we're talking about trauma. So when we went to break, we had mentioned a little bit in regards to boundaries. So Lisa, mention or talk to us a little bit about boundaries. And for someone who has been in a situation, I think that we all know somebody who's been in a particular situation, they've been in it a long time, and they have not established boundaries. So they've put themselves into a position to where they're not treated the way in which they should be. How do they make changes when they've allowed it to happen for a period of time? Because I'm thinking that the trauma for something like that may have occurred, but it may have occurred at such a small increment, you know, that it isn't the situation to where somebody says, oh my God, we had this horrible incident that happened. Just by not having boundaries allowed these things to chip away to where the trauma has affected them.
Yeah. Well, and first let's talk about, you know, what makes someone prone to not being able to assert boundaries. And, you know, childhood abuse, or especially living in a home where there is an adult with mental health issues, addiction issues, greatly increases someone's any sort of childhood, you know, the ACE score, the acute childhood experiences score. I don't know if you've talked about that probably on the show. You know, all of these kinds of childhood experiences increase your risk for diseases. It also, from an energy, for people who work with energy bodies, it tend to increase someone's, you know, challenges with boundaries, but it does reflect differently in men and women. Whereas boys and men sometimes will have more of a tendency to become more rigid or use hostility or anger as a form of over-boundary, right? And women are more prone, and it can go either way. Girls and women are more prone to fall into the category of having, you know, completely spongy or no boundaries, no ability. There's conditioning around unworthiness and people pleasing that goes the other direction to having no boundaries and no sense of who they really are, because energetically they're actually absorbing other people's emotions. If you think of a young child that comes into a home with a parent who is dangerous in some way, they are constantly feeling out, what do I need to do to feel safe, right? And so girls and women tend to then, that translates often into this pattern of constantly feeling out others' emotions and taking them into their own energy body as their own emotions without knowing it. So that's how this creeper situation occurs, right? You're in a relationship, it seems okay, actually you are taking on the emotions, taking on responsibility perhaps for healing someone else, mm-hmm. thinking that you've got it all figured out, you know what you need to do, all that kind of stuff. And it becomes, you know, more and more damaging. So the first step is really recognizing the issue and the history, and then energetic work from that point can really help reestablish boundaries by focusing on your navel chakra primarily and just really visualizing fire. And this is what I'll do with someone right off the bat, visualizing fire in that navel chakra daily. And it creates this, it shifts on a vibrational level in a way we can't completely define why it works. It's a kind of meditation, but it's a kind of really deep, bringing a new kind of energy into the psyche and body that starts to generate some more feelings of assertiveness, etc. And then the root chakra linked to that creates, you can start to create a sense of having almost like a protective shield that pushes out other people's emotions. So you're just dealing with your own emotions. Right. And I have a lot of affirmational work that I do too, to really try to imprint on we're trying to reprogram the psyche, right? That yeah. I have a right to boundaries. I have a right to just feel my own emotions. I don't have to take responsibility for other people's emotions. I select what energies come into my body. All of those kinds of things to reprogram the psyche around having the right to boundaries.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think there's a lot of people that can relate and feel more comfortable with kind of working into that area. We have a listener question that has come in. This one reads, this is a very timely show because of what we are experiencing right here in Los Angeles. So many of us feel powerless and enormously angry over the shameful, heavy-handed way in which our mayor has handled the situation. He now states that until there is a cure, he plans on keeping us in a quasi-quarantine lockdown indefinitely. Not sure I heard that. Anyway, we desperately need some spiritual calm to wash over us, as well as empowerment to get through to the other side. Can you please explain how your book would be one that would help us refocus ourselves into the positive in this situation? I will buy a dozen of your books for family and friends if it is something we can implement now. And that's from Tara in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, and I think the real challenge right now is to find the calm beneath the emotions so we are not only acting on the angry emotions, right? Right. I think also it's also looking at anger and recognizing underlying causes. So there's perhaps a sense of injustice in this case, mm-hmm. right? But there's also usually either hurt or fear and anxiety, and anger is a defensive right. response. Right? It's really, from an energy body perspective, a hyperactive navel chakra that's going outward, right? But it limits your choices in terms of how you are going to respond or react because it's so forward, outward pushing, right? So in that case, what I like to, when anger is very strong, what I find the most helpful is not trying to just calm yourself down, right? Like you right. can say, focus on the heart chakra, do some deep breaths. You know, that'll sometimes work. If the anger is really heightened, we need to work with transforming the anger. And the transformation of anger energy is into clarity, actually, and into a very precise, focused, strong action, right? But you have to decide what that is for you. It's going to be different for every person, right? Right. But to make that decision, you can work in your navel chakra. And this is a big part of that third chapter of the book that is all about the navel chakra. How do you transform anger into a sense of just precise clarity? How do you work with that energetically? It's not something that happens overnight. We reference meditation practices, yoga practices, things like that. We use this word practice, meaning you do have to practice a new emotional mindset. You do have to practice a new way of being in your body for a while before you're able to do it in triggered situations. So I do think for all of us at home, and I am also in LA County, using some time each day to actually go inward, finding the tool that works for you, whether it's my book or it's something else, some other meditation or mindfulness type practice, really using this as an opportunity to feel emotions as energy in your body, learning how to transform them and transmute them, in some cases, heal them and release them. This is a very powerful opportunity to do that because we are not so dispersed out in the outside world. We're much more contained. It's kind of an enforced hermitage, which is where these practices developed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And again, for everybody out there, I went to Lisa's website, and I think if you go to the website, you will find lots of tools that will help you in regards to what it is you're dealing with. You know, so obviously you can get the book, and then you'll have something at home. But there's also videos and such that I think can be very beneficial, even if it's just at that moment to relieve the stress of that moment. You know, and if you were quarantined in such a way that you don't have someone that you can talk to or something like this, I think this gives you a way to sort of bring everything down to a point in which you can feel much better about whatever it is that you're going through at that point. So now, Lisa, what would be some other considerations that women have energetically that they have to deal with that maybe us men don't?
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked about how we're anchored in the second chakra. This is linked into our reproductive system. And of course, both men and women have hormonal cycles, et cetera. But for women, they're much more pronounced, both a monthly cycle during our adult life, but also the phases of our life, right? It's very demarcated by the onset of menstruation, pregnancy, if you have a child, the postpartum phase, perimenopause, which is the years leading into menopause, and then menopause. And there are big hormonal shifts at each of those times. There are big energetic shifts too. Right. And learning to work with those energetic shifts can enable us to experience them as powerful as opposed to disempowering. And I do think right now the medical system tends to focus on them as disempowering. Like, how do we just medicate all the symptoms away so they cause the least amount of inconvenience possible, right? And I don't want anyone to be in discomfort. But there is actually an energy to these natural cycles of our body. There's an energy cycle to them, and we can learn to work with them in a way that's empowering. So that's a big part of my book. And it's interesting for sexual trauma survivors, one of the issues that tends to arise is they tend to be more disconnected from those cycles. So they're missing out on the power aspect of those cycles because they've become disconnected from their body.
So, I mean, would you say essentially then that, I mean, it is counterproductive for somebody to think that you can pharmaceutically deal with whatever changes you're feeling as you're going from one time of life to another?
Yeah. Well, I never rule it out because some people need I personally am open in cases to pharmaceutical aid, as long as it's not viewed as the only solution. It's viewed as perhaps a temporary measure to ease certain symptoms that have gotten very, you know, but there are also many herbal medicines that can be very effective, right? That are less harsh on the body. But in addition to that, I think approaching these as energetic phases and understanding the psychological process you're going through, the energy shift that you're going through, it's not then just about managing your symptoms. It's about understanding the transit you're in, and approaching it that way changes everything, right? Because then it's really like, okay, this is almost like rebirthing pains, right? It's not just symptoms. This is me recreating myself if I approach it that way. How do I use these energy surges that are manifesting as night sweats? Can I use them for personal growth, not just manage, you know? So it's really a combining modalities.
Okay, makes sense. Now we have another question that has come in or comment. This one reads, it says, as a rape survivor in my junior year of college, three guys I knew spiked my drink. And it says, and you can imagine what happened next. I was too humiliated and afraid of them to come forward. So I turned to opiates to ease the pain. I don't think I would be alive today if I had not discovered Tai Chi. That connected me to my spiritual core. Immersing in that powerful flow of energy has truly healed me. I have wanted to share this with others, but find it hard to adequately explain how and why it works. I am almost finished reading the Kindle version of your book and just love it. The best part is that I can share now by just telling them to go read your book. Go read your book, Lisa. Thank you loads. And this is from Iris in Michigan.
Oh, well, Iris in Michigan, thank you so much for sharing that. And I don't know Iris in Michigan for anyone who, but thank you for that. And thank you for sharing your story. And every time someone does share a story like that, it helps someone else, right? Because it mm-hmm. makes it helps someone else go, oh, wow, maybe there is a modality for me. And I want to encourage any sexual trauma survivors out there in particular to, in addition to looking at my work, go to the breathenet.org, which is actually a nonprofit that lists holistic practitioners of all types who are particularly focused on trauma-sensitive work with sexual trauma survivors. Because I think everyone has another modality. So for Iris, Tai Chi was the breakthrough mm-hmm. moment. And everyone has different things. For some people, it's yoga, it's Reiki, it's EMDR. Like there's all these modalities and people have to find the right fit for themselves. And there is something out there. So don't lose hope.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing a lot of the different options for people out there, because I'm a firm believer as well that there is something out there that that will help each person, and it may not necessarily be one thing in particular. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do on this show every once in a while, I call my magic wand. If I hand you the magic wand, what are the changes that you would make in our society that would bring us closer to where we need to be? Mm-hmm. You know, emotionally, as far as with our chakras, what are some of the changes that you would do? You now have the magic wand.
Oh, the magic wand. Every child is taught mindfulness or meditation of some type in a school setting and understand some things about their stress response in their body and how to manage that. They understand the concept of psychological growth, and that sometimes you may need help with that, right? That mental health is like physical health. Sometimes yeah. you need help, right? That would be the biggie, right? I think a greater awareness, accessibility to energy healing modalities, and greater insurance support, obviously, for these, whether it falls under mental health or traditional health, because that is a barrier sometimes for people being able to explore alternative options, is not having any coverage, right? So all of those would be the two biggies. And then just a greater awareness and opening to all of these kinds of modalities in general, that the earth, all of us, we're composed of energy, and opening to an awareness of that level of ourselves.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for that, because I love the fact that you touched on actually two things that are sort of pet peeves for me. And one is that the way in which our educational system works or doesn't work in certain areas. And the other part has to do with insurance. And part of my past or background is as a detective. We did insurance defense work, and it amazes me that it would be okay from an insurance standpoint to authorize. An example was that I worked a case, and it was a 19-year-old boy, and they were authorizing major back surgery. Mm-hmm. He was going to, they were authorizing a fusion of his back at 19 years old. And at the time, I think I was only about 20 or 21 myself, and had a similar injury. And I was not allowed to talk to him. I was just supposed to follow him and see if it was really hurt. So it was, they were more concerned with, you know, is he really hurt? Is it fraud? And then we're going to pay whatever, $50,000 or $100,000 for this huge operation, as opposed to what are some of the other ways in which this might be healed without doing that? But the insurance company wouldn't do a conversion of funds.
Right.
And it drives me nuts that yeah. this happens. And I deal with it also on the psychological side of young yeah. people that are going to specialized programs. And on the one hand, they will pay, you know, $10,000 a day to go into a particular type of detox. Mm-hmm. But they won't then pay for them to go to a specialized school that will now help them learn the tools that they need to operate their body in such a way that they won't fall right back into that same problem.
That's right.
And so, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because those are some of the things that just drive me crazy.
Well, and me too, working with so many trauma survivors, so few can get even basic therapy covered, right? Mm-hmm. Really traumatic events, or there's a statute of limitations, which we, as we all know, very often people are dealing with trauma years after it occurred because they were not able to face it at the time, or they weren't in a situation where they even recognized how they'd been impacted. And then let alone, you know, and therapy is a mainstream modality, right? Let alone getting coverage for anything else, right? So it is very frustrated. Our whole system is geared around just symptoms, again, and symptom management, as opposed to wellness and prevention. There are some shifts, you know, it depends where you live and the kind of coverage you have. There's some positive momentum, but we have a long way to go, a long way to go around all of this.
Is there a country that is doing a much better job of this that you can share with us?
Well, I don't know so much on the energy healing front. You know, the UK and some of the Nordic countries, Sweden and et cetera, do have better mental health coverage in general. And they do cover some energy healing type modalities, but it's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not an expert on it for sure.
Well, yeah. And I was just recently in Sweden prior to the pandemic and talked to a lot of people there. And I did see that there was a much more openness to mental health coverage. And in fact, one of the things that I loved was you had a mental health ambulance. Mm. And so I went and I met with the people that started this. And it's growing there. But rather than if there's a traumatic situation going on and, you know, somebody is, and, you know, like they're threatening suicide or they're threatening to harm somebody or whatever, that instead of sending the police, they have a mental health ambulance that goes out there and says, can we talk? And what they have found is that there is so much more success in actually stopping whatever the activity is that is dangerous, but also in then helping that person afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you brought up Sweden as well.
Well, and this and is an issue. You know, there, it's a true expertise knowing how to work with someone, and we cannot expect police and emergency responders to, you know, be trained in all the physical stuff in law enforcement and mental health. The specifics of that. So yeah, we just have to start valuing the different kinds of expertise that there are out there and what people need. Yeah.
Well, I really thank you. I really want to honor you for what it is that you're doing. You're working in an area that I think is so needed. I'm so thankful that you're out there. And again, for everybody, if you want to go to the website, it is Chakra Empowerment for Women. You can get the book. You can see some of the videos. Lisa, is there anything else that you would like to share or anything else that's coming up on the horizon that we should know about?
Yeah, well, I'll be updating both that website and enlightenedenergetics.com this week with some new offerings. I am going to do a trauma recovery Q&A related to the book. It's really meant for people that have bought the book and have specific questions around trauma recovery, and one on women's energetics. So that'll be covering the menstruation, pregnancy, postpartum, and menopause. Those will be coming up in June. And then I'll be doing a longer 7-week course tied to the book in the fall. I did that this past winter, and I'm going to do that round again in the fall. So that's kind of a way to get more support around this work. If the book on its own has piqued your interest, but you'd like more support or you just have questions.
And Lisa, have you sent that information about what's upcoming? Has that been sent to us or to Jan?
It isn't on my website yet. That's actually my to-do list this week, Alan. It's going to happen. So I have to get my website updated first, and it'll all be up there. So.
Okay, so for everybody out there, it's going to be on the website. So check if it's not there, check again,
or sign up for the email list, which is even better because if you're on my email list, you'll get the announcement.
There you go. And but Lisa, also if you can send it to us as well, and we'll put it on our site, we'll put it on our Facebook page for anybody that might have missed the show, but they see something on the Facebook page. I would love to help promote it as much as we can.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And for everybody out there, please Be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we will be joined by Julia Keys and Jackie Coles to discuss their new book, Manscript, Surviving and Thriving During and After Infidelity. Mm. So folks, see, this time we focused a little bit more on women. We're going to focus a little bit more on men next week. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com or subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and we greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. Now, as well, I want everybody to please think about today, be grateful for the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for what freedom we have today. I know I am, and I know that I don't take it for granted. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.